Welcome to the Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and today we are really grateful to have Mina Lee Greben on the show with us. How are you today, Mina?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Tony, for inviting me on your program.
Well, we've been hoping you'd come on for quite a while, and we've had a few people saying, oh, you've got to get Mina Lee Greben on the show. So I can say now we have, so that's awesome.
Awesome.
Hey, you just put out an article about Obama saying chaos is coming. Can you tell us a little bit about that article and your experience there?
Yeah, sure. That actually just happened a couple of days ago. It was actually Sunday night. So crossover between June 26th and June 27th, because it was the middle of the night. And I put it out the day, I put it out on Monday, I believe it was, Monday afternoon. So about 1:45 in the morning, I had a visitation from the Lord. And a lot of people who know about me and know about my ministry, I've been having visitations since I was 6 years old. So it's been a while. It's been a little over 30 years now. And they've increased more so in the last three years. And they've been more pointed towards the current events and end times and so on and so forth. So this particular experience, I found myself in a conference room, like a press conference. And it was about 50 or so people there. And I was sitting in the second row, the second seat in the last row on the right-hand side. There were these white tables that everyone was seated at. And each row had about, I don't know, four people or so. And then I didn't recognize anyone in this room except for Donald Trump. And the only reason why I recognize it, because I'm sitting in the back row, so everybody's at my backside. And the only reason why I even recognized him was because of his, you know, his comb over. Everybody knows the Donald Trump hairdo.
Yeah.
So, but of course, this was professional. Everyone was dressed in suits and, you know, business attire. You know, there were recorders there. There were reporters and all of that good stuff and the press. And so I'm sitting here and I'm observing all of this. And I see that Obama is pacing the floor and he looks very, very agitated. And he's angry and he's saying, you know, they're pushing me. They're going to push me to do this. They're going to push me to cause drama. And then he walks over to this guy who's seated in the first row and he is three rows in front of me. And he's seated in the first seat, three rows in front on the right-hand side. And all I could see was this guy's backside. All I could tell was that he had on a tan suit. I saw his, you know, his blazer, and he was a white fella. And he walks over to him, and he's like, he calls him Kevin. And he says, Kevin, they're pushing me. You know, they're pushing me to cause drama. They want chaos. I'm going to give them chaos. And so Kevin, he's like, you know, frantic, and he has this note tablet in his hand, and he starts frantically like grabbing this note tablet like he's going to take notes. And he says, I'm going to give them what they deserve. I'm going to give them the chaos and the drama that they deserve. And so I noticed that, because now I can see his face, you know, Obama's face, that I noticed that it looks like someone had took a black Sharpie pen, which is, you know, permanent marker, and had written on his forehead. And what was written in black on his forehead was, chaos is coming. And so the scenes changed, and I found myself in a room, and a large room, and there was a platform. And about 30 feet away to my right, I saw Jesus standing. And he was standing, and he had on this simple white robe, and I've seen him wear this robe a couple of times, maybe two or three other times. And it was, you know, it was plain, but it was glowing with this, it was illuminating this soft white glow. But the interesting thing, the most captivating thing was his face. And I've seen Jesus various ways in his face. I've seen him in his regal, you know, majestic apparel. You know, everyone doesn't see his face. A lot of people, talk about seeing Jesus, and they only see like a, they can see everything but his face. And it actually, a lot of people want to know why certain people can see his face and others don't. It actually has to do with your what kind of relationship you have with him. A lot of people don't know that, but it actually has to do with the kind of relationship you have with him. And a lot of times when he appears, you know, with the bright shining light, it's, you know, usually to those who don't have as close of a relationship. You usually hear a lot of stories like that in near-death experiences or what have you, where they see the bright light where he comes and is majestic to humble them, basically, to humble the people. But anyway, so I've seen his face many times since I was a little girl. But for this particular time, it stood out because it was just so clear. It was like he wanted me to pay attention to his face. And of course, I found out why. So I'm studying his face, and the look, the expression that he has is that of sadness. And even though he's like about 20, 30 feet from me, it was like I was able to zoom in on his face. And I'm looking at, you know, his hair and his beard and all of this, and I'm studying how the sadness in his eyes. And then I notice that there's these tears running down just his left eye, running out of his left eye on the left side of his cheek. And with each tear, I mean, it was a constant flow of tears. Before one tear could hit his beard, there was already another tear forming out of his eye. So it was constant flow of tears. And inside each tear was a fetus. And each fetus was a different stage. They weren't all the same. That some of them were in very early stages and others were, you know, more developed stages of, you know, a baby of a pregnancy. And they were all, you know, different parts or different times. And they were streaming down his face. And it was just so clear. It was so vivid. Like I could just see every detail, every little detail of it. And then it was like I zoomed out and then he spoke. But when he spoke, he didn't move his lips, and it was like he was talking to me spirit to spirit, or what we, you know, telepathically, which is really spirit to spirit. And a lot of people who have had spiritual encounters, they know what I'm talking about when I say that. So he didn't move his lips, but he said to me, he said, they continue to steal the life that I have given it. I thought those words were just, I don't know. It was just very moving. He said, they're stealing the life. They continue to steal the life that I've given. And then he says, in some, there are those who are unaware of their murders. And he said, because there were doctors who had deceived many into believing that they had to end their pregnancy because it would either take the mother's life or the child would be born with deformities or severe abnormalities. And so they're told that they don't have a choice. And so they believe they're doing, basically, they believe they're doing the right thing, but they don't know that they're committing murder. And that's what, and that part, that extra part I'm adding on, you know, just to give a further description of what he's saying. And he said, so they steal the life that I have given.
Wow.
And then I see these angels begin to form behind him. They're like taking place. They're taking position, standing guard almost. And these angels, very tall in stature, and they don't have wings. And I know, you know, most people, I hope most people know that not all angels have wings. That's why the Bible says, be careful of who you entertain, because you might be entertaining angels. They come in human form. A lot of people think that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, has wings. He doesn't. He looks like a human being, you know, but there's, so these angels did not look like, they didn't have wings, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but they were very tall.
Yeah.
They were like 9 to 10 feet in stature. So very tall.
Yeah.
And they were all golden. They were gold skin, gold hair, gold. I mean, everything on them was gold except their eyes. Their eyes stood out. Very beautiful eyes. And they're taking this position behind them. And there's 14 of them. And so I inquire, but I'm kind of asking within myself, like, I didn't move my lips. I'm like, oh, I wonder, you know, I wonder why they're here. You know, why are they taking positions behind Jesus, kind of thing. And then the Lord answers, like, he hears my thoughts. Okay. And then he answers them. He's answer what I'm thinking, yeah, yeah. You know, and he says they are taking their position for the 21 judgments. And, you know, the 21 judgments is what's mentioned in the book of Revelation, and it's the tribulation.
Okay, I can't say I'd ever actually counted them up, so that's interesting to know there's 21 of them. Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm, it's 21 of them. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, there's only 14 angels, yeah. You know. And then the Lord reminds me that the first seven seals are opened by the Lamb. So there are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. That's the 21 judgments.
Yep, yep, yep.
So we have the angels that sound the trumpets and the angels that pour out the bowls, but it's the Lamb that breaks the seals. And so he said that they were lining themselves up for, they were in preparation for the 21 judgments. He said they were about to begin. Now, you know, we have to understand that Jesus' time is not our time. Heaven's time. Heaven, I always joke and say, really, heaven is on no time.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
You go to heaven, the weird thing about heaven is that, I shouldn't say weird, but the unique thing about heaven is that in heaven, it's always now. It's always today. Like, if you could even comprehend that. And that's why God said, when Abraham was, I am. God didn't say I was and I will be. He's always the I am. Not just because he's always dealing with the now, because he created time, so he doesn't live within time.
Yeah.
So with him, he's always now. Because outside of the box in space that we call time, there's only the now.
Yeah.
That's basically, and that time is in a dimension, basically. It's like a box, if you can imagine that God has created for things to rotate and move in, but he lives outside of that dimension.
Yes.
So it doesn't apply to him. And so when he says they're about to begin, you know, in heaven, it's like, okay, it's today.
Yeah.
You know, but their today is could be months or weeks or, you know, a couple years away for us, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I wanted to clarify that because I saw that some people, when I posted it, I noticed that, and people get really excited, and that's fine. It's you know, we should be getting excited. And they're like, oh, you know, the rapture is going to happen in a couple of months. And I'm like, you have to understand that his time is not our time. Yeah. We don't live.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
But it means soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and when
it does mean soon.
Yeah, and when you're seeing that sort of stuff, it's going to be in the present because you're seeing it in your present at the time anyway. So I'm sure even the Apostle John had no idea how far away the book of Revelation was going to be when he was living it. It would have felt like it was happening right now to him. So,
not just him. Look at Daniel. Daniel's still asking about, you know, inquiring things, and they're like, no, just seal up the book.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes. Yep.
So he's like, wait a minute, what's all this stuff I'm seeing? You know, and he's like, okay, the time is not now. I mean, and he was a good seven. He was about 450 years before Christ.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Obama was in your dream, so it can't be too far away.
Right. Right. And so he said that time was short, and he said that that his bride was making herself ready for him to call her to him or to himself. And so then he says, now he speaks with his lips moving, and he's very stern. He looks at me with intensity, and he says, within 3 to 6 months, total chaos will envelop America.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, what can you say?
Well, yeah.
I can say that,
you know, a lot of other people are saying similar things, and, you know, I'm coming across that all the time. And we all have this sense of imminency. I do. I mean, I as well. And, yeah, others, well, even within the A Minute to Midnight team, you know, talking with Joni Stahl yesterday. And it's the same thing. The harvest is close, it's really close, and the chaos is really close, and the harvest is going to come out of that. But
yes.
So Obama's there. I'm also interested in a little while ago you dealt in a video that you put out about Donald Trump. I mean, we're seeing so many Christians almost looking to Donald Trump as a savior, that somehow the judgment of America is being averted because Donald Trump's going to save the day, or at least postpone it. You know, some of them are not saying it's going to stop completely, but that Donald Trump's going to postpone it. But it concerns me. I'd like to, you know, hear your take on this.
So in the beginning, you know, I just stayed very neutral about the whole thing. Just because of what I was told last year about something happening with the elections that would cause a delay.
Yeah.
And so even in the beginning of this year, I went on True News for the last time I went on True News, and, you know, I was asked, Rick Wiles asked me, he said, well, you know, gonna ask me what my stand was. And I says, I still believe that these elections are going to be delayed. He's like, you still believe that? I says, yes, because I know what I was shown and what I was told.
Yeah.
And so, of course, since then, you know, 6 months have passed, and, you know, a lot has happened in 6 months with the elections, with the people being eliminated out of the Republican Party and dropping out and all of that stuff. And so we know that the majority of the evangelical church has swung towards this man, has almost idolized this man into believing that he is the key to America's future of escaping.
Yeah.
And it's just that. It's escapism. The interesting thing is that I hear people talk about folks who believe in the rapture. They go as far as people who believe in the rapture, period, because, you know, they go into the whole thing about, oh, the word rapture is not in the Bible. We know that. We know it comes from a Greek word meaning to be caught up. But it's, you know, but the great catch in a way is actually found even in the Old Testament. If you would just people would just read their Bible. But, you know, people don't read their Bibles. And so people usually call those people, you know, it's a form of escapism. But it's interesting to hear that, because really that's what the evangelical church is doing right now. It's a form of escapism, like we can escape God's judgment.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could go on forever about my thoughts on that and the revelations. But the thing is that the funny part is this, you know, I'll tell you the realistic part. And that is, you know, I really tried to get on board with everybody else, like in my mind and in my heart. I tried to.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing else I would like. I when we were just talking earlier, I mean, I was born in America. Okay. I'm an American citizen.
Yeah.
And God has shown me things, you know, that have taken me out of the country. And, you know, that's hard for me. I've traveled 2/3 of this country. I'm not afraid to travel or anything, but, you know, I'm an American. So nobody really wants to hear that type of news. Yeah. So I get that. You know, I would love nothing more than to buy some extra land, and I've been talking to my husband about, I want to, you know, build a bigger garden. I want to get some chickens. You know, I'm a city mouse that's turned into a country mouse now. And, you know, there's nothing more I would like to do than to have that extra time. But my spirit man would not allow me to do that. And I, no matter how hard I tried, I found no rest in it. So because of that, I just went to the Lord and I was like, show me. Well, before I even asked him to show me Donald Trump, I went to the Lord because I was trying to get on board with everybody else and I couldn't. And I asked the Lord, this was about 3 months ago. I was in prayer and I asked the Lord what was happening. I go, is this what everybody's saying? Because this people started coming out. And they've got bold statements. People, I mean, it's one thing to say I've had a dream about something or a vision. And it's another thing to say, thus saith the Lord. And these people are like, thus saith the Lord. And I'm like, listen, to me, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is.
It's scary. I mean, I remember a couple of times in my life where the Lord commanded me to say, thus saith the Lord. And, you know, he's very stern when he does it. So when people are like, thus saith the Lord, he said, God said this man, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, I was in prayer and I was like, Lord, you know, what's going to happen? Like, you know, is he what everybody's saying he is? And if so, will you show me? Will you give me a confirmation? This was about three and a half months ago. And I was in prayer this one day And I saw this sword come down. It was a huge sword. It had to be, I don't know, 6 feet in length. That's big for a sword.
Yeah.
I mean, this mat, it was beautiful, but it was fierce. And the Lord, I mean, the sword went into the ground and he, like with power, but even like in anger. And he said, deception, deception, deception. And I said, deception. He said, the church is deceived. And then he gave me like Hosea chapter 9. So that was like three and a half months ago. Then after that, I came back from doing a Passover event in Maryland, and at the end of March, and I got sick because I was up in the mountains, and it was like 40 degrees in the mountains, and it was wet, and then where I was living, it was 80 degrees, so it messed with my immune system, and I got sick, and I caught a cold, and this one night I was propped up downstairs in my living room late at night, trying not to wake up the house and hacking and coughing. And I'm trying to go to sleep. Like, I wasn't praying. I wasn't talking to the Lord, nothing. I was just like trying to go to sleep. But it was like midnight. It was after midnight. And I doze off and I hear the audible voice of the Lord. And he says, they keep saying that I said, I've anointed, I've chosen, I've appointed, but I say, I do not know any of the candidates. And at the time, there were three.
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't talking about all 16. I think it started out with 16 people. I don't know. It was crazy. But it was three at the time. It was two left in the Republican and one. Well, no, it was. Yeah, it was no one left with the Republican and two with the Democrats, which was Bernie Sanders and Hillary.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know them. So I was like, you know, it kind of shook me up. But I was like, you know, OK, well, I didn't ask, you know, like, OK, why are you telling me this? OK, so then that 2 months ago, this was like April, maybe the end of April. I just went before the Lord and I said, because I'm not putting any of this out. I'm only telling people, you know, but I'm not saying too much of anything. And I see this great divide happening in the church. So I just went before the Lord and I said, show me Donald Trump. I was like, Lord, show me. I said, Lord, every time I've ever asked you, which are not a whole lot of times, but every time I've ever asked Lord to show me somebody, like if I'm not sure in my flesh, in my own intellect, who this person, who a person is or what they really are all about, because I can't discern it, I will ask him. And every single time he's always answered me and showed me what I was really dealing with. And I said, Lord, I gave this to him. I said, you've always shown that to me. You've always cleared me. You've not allowed me to be deceived. I said, show me this man. Well, I prayed that night and you know, I was waiting to see if he would talk to me or give me a scripture. And he did it for that, regarding that. And I went to bed. And that night, I had a dream. And in that dream, which I spoke about in that video, I was in a church. And I was due to speak, and I speak all over the country. And it was like a meeting that I was due to be at. And it was a Friday night. And it was me and Donald Trump. We were both due to speak. And he was late. He was very late. This place it wasn't a big place, but it was filled. There was no seat that wasn't filled. And the people were so excited that he was coming to minister to them. And you could hear them talking and they were saying, he's coming to minister to us. Oh, we're so excited. And even in the front row, there was this 96-year-old woman. Don't ask me how I knew, but that, I mean, it was this 96-year-old woman. She was so excited that he was there. And it was 1 minute to midnight, I believe it was, on the clock. The clock was on the back wall. I think it was 1 minute to midnight. It might have been five, but I think it was 1 minute to midnight. And I was with the host, and we were trying to find worship music, and we were waiting for him. We were like, where is this guy at? So finally, he comes in. And he's like rushing, and he comes to me, and I'm like, you know, they're waiting for you. They're waiting. And, you know, it was his night to speak. I wasn't due to speak till another night. And he looks at me and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I know I'm late, but he's like, well, you know, I really can't stay that long. And I was like, what do you mean you can't stay that long? You're late. You know, it's your night to speak. And he was looking at his watch. And he said, I'm late for a board meeting business meeting. And yeah. I was like, you're late for a business meeting. He says, well, I'll just go in and I'll just say a few words for them. I'll stir up the crowd and you could take over for me. And I said, wait. I said, wait a minute. I'm not due to speak tonight. This is your crowd. And this is what I told him. And he pats me on the back. He's like, yeah, but you're good at this stuff. You can take care of it for me. You'll be fine. You're good at this stuff. You do this stuff all the time. I said, but this is not my crowd. This is your crowd. You're due to speak to these people. He's like, well, listen, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say a few things. I'm going to stir up the crowd. But afterwards, I have to go. Mm. And it was just cut and dry like that. And so I'm standing there kind of in shock. And he goes out to the crowd, and the people are, like, clapping. They're so excited, like, this is going to be our president. Oh, this is going to be our president. And so he pulls out a piece of paper that's in his pocket. I don't know what was on the paper, but it was folded in fours. And he starts reading from this paper, and he's pacing back and forth. And everything that's coming out of his mouth is about money and politics. And that's all he talks about. And then he folds up this piece of paper. He talks for, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then he folds up his piece of paper. He puts it back in his pocket. He looks at his watch. He's like, you know, thank you for supporting me. Thank you for coming all the way out tonight. But I'm late for a meeting and I have to go. And he leaves. And the people are sitting there. And it's like the crowd doesn't even know how to react. And some people are still sitting there with like a pasted smile on their face. And they're like, oh, well, this is going to be our president.
Yeah.
And other people are like, wait a minute. This is not what I came here for. I thought he was coming to minister to us. What do you mean? He didn't say anything that pertaining to a testimony. I mean, the people were like, wait a minute. This is not what we came here for.
Yeah.
And the dream ended. And so the interpretation of the dream the Lord was showing me, which has been confirmed over and over again since I've had it, was that the church is deceived, basically. And what they're gonna find out is that he is not what they think he is, and he's not going to deliver what they're expecting him to deliver. It's gonna be a huge disappointment. Now, you know, I've told people throughout the time, God has never said to me that the man is not going to get elected, and he's never said to me that he is. What the Lord has emphasized to me is that we got bigger problems on our hands than whether or not he wins the election. And that's the person who's still in office.
Yeah.
And that has been my point over and over again. And no matter how much I say it, there's still people that they just don't get it. They're just like, oh, well, you must be, we're going to get Hillary then. You're just saying don't vote for him. I'm like, I don't want you. You guys are not understanding. It has nothing to do with that. And that's what God is trying to say, that no matter who you vote for, it is not going to stop the catastrophe that's coming. And that's the bigger picture that God is trying to get people to see, but nobody's paying attention to that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I completely concur and agree with that. And as far as the man that's still in there, he's not going to go away, even if there is an election and Obama walks away from being president, that's not going to be the end of Obama. He's not going to be the sort of guy that's just going to disappear into the sunset and live happily ever after. He's only just beginning.
Yes. And he's telling us that he's giving us signs. And that's what I'm telling people. I'm like, these people are telling you what they're going to do and nobody's paying attention.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree. And just back to Trump briefly, though, the whole thing is that, you know, I've heard people saying that he's Cyrus, you know, he's the Cyrus for America. But you had an interesting thing about Cyrus and the role that Cyrus had. Can you explain that?
Right. What I said in my video was that, you know, King Cyrus came after two kings after, well, Cyrus was predicted by Isaiah himself by name before he was even born. But after that time came the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah went to King Zedekiah and told him that God said judgment was coming to Israel and Judah for their disobedience. And part of that disobedience, and only part of it, was the fact that they had missed 70 Shemitahs. Yeah. They were commanded by God that every seventh year they was to lay the land to rest, amongst other things. And they had missed 70 Shemitahs. This was 490 years, people.
Yeah.
This wasn't because they decided to party overnight. You know, they didn't decide one weekend to go get drunk and, you know, get laid up somewhere. This was 490 years of rebellion. And Jeremiah said, listen, Babylon is coming. You know, you guys are going into captivity. And he was basically telling Zedekiah, just give your, and the people, give themselves up. Don't fight against it. Because this was basically their punishment for being disobedient. Of course, they didn't believe him. They mocked him. They scoffed him. They threw him down a cistern. They threw him in jail. They threatened him. I mean, all kinds of horrible things happened to Jeremiah. And, but what happened? I mean, he kept sounding the alarm. And what happened? Babylon came. Nebuchadnezzar came. He captured the city. He burned down the city, actually. He burned down the temple. He stole the temple artifacts. We don't know if he stole the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant went missing and was never found again.
Hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that when the second temple was built around the time of Jesus, there was no Ark of the Covenant in there.
Yeah.
They never found it. And so he, you know, the Ark of the Covenant went missing and the people went into slavery for 70 years. And so, you know, now we have the time of Daniel and Ezekiel and all of them. And then so after 70 years of captivity, they come out of exile. And now we have the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra. We have the time of Zechariah, of Zerubbabel, of Jeshua, of Haggai, all of those people. Those are all in the same around the time frame when they come out of, because they come out of exile, I think, in three groups, if I'm not mistaken. And so, but the person that, okay, so there were two kings after Nebuchadnezzar. That there was Darius, which is where you get the writing on the wall, the many, many, you know, the, all of those, the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And then there's Cyrus. Okay. And so Cyrus, of course, releases the people, and this is the time of Nehemiah, to go home and to rebuild the temple. You know, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. Jeshua and Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. And, you know, Ezra helped, and Ezra was a part of it because Ezra was, you know, part of the rebuilding, all of that. But that was Cyrus. So the point is, what I was saying, I says, you know, you guys are saying, or these people are out here saying, thus saith the Lord, he's King Cyrus. And I'm like, how is it, did we forget the order of things? King Cyrus comes after Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
You know, after Babylon comes in, after Judah and Israel are punished for their disobedience, and they spend their time in time out, basically.
Yeah.
They fulfilled their time out, their punishment, which was 70 years, and then they basically come to restoration. And so we have it. I'm like, you guys are screaming King Cyrus when we're still at Jeremiah,
yeah,
yelling that Babylon is coming.
Yeah, they haven't been in the captivity yet. So Cyrus comes after that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar might be sitting in the office. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, either that or he coming. But I'm like, we're at Jeremiah right now. Jeremiah is sounding the alarm saying, listen, you guys have been rebellious. You haven't repented of your sins. You have. And here's the other thing. Part of the other parts that Judah and Israel were doing is that they were sacrificing their children to Moloch, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because of the Supreme Court, the same day that the Lord showed me the tears running out of his eyes, the same exact day. And that's happened to me one other time. And it's so crazy because it's on about the year anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling about same-sex marriage. And the day that they, or 6 days before they ruled on that, the Lord gave me a dream, and I put out a video, it's still there, where he showed me the Constitution going up in flames and that they were getting ready to change the sanctity of marriage. And I was on a plane, and I told the people on the video, I said, I'm getting on a plane in 6 days to go to Dallas to do my conference. And sure enough, 6 days later, while I was in the airport on my way to Dallas, is the day that they changed that marriage, the constitution, in the, as far as, you know, man and wife thing, or man and woman. So that's the other time he's done that. And then this time, when I saw those tears in his eyes, it's the same exact day that the Supreme Court, later on that day, because this was like the wee hours of the morning, later on that day is when the Supreme Court ruled banning, I don't even know what all the details is, but basically they made it, all of the laws, all of the things that they had to go through to be an abortion clinic and all the procedures that they had to go through are all wiped out now. And they made it easier than ever since 1973. They have now made it easier than ever to get an abortion here in this country.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that God made God so angry about the Israelites, was that they were worshiping other gods. He had said in Jeremiah chapter 3 that they had prostituted themselves with other lovers, which, you know, were other gods. They had caused their children to run or to go through the fire. And that's what he, that's what it's always termed. They were sacrificing their newborns, you know, and all of this. And it's all what America has done. It's all the same thing. And so because of that, God's anger kindled against his own chosen people. And so I always tell people, listen, if Israel didn't get away, what makes you think we're going to get away?
Yes. So, yeah, I firmly believe that we are right on the cusp of economic collapse globally, and it's going to affect America probably worse than almost anyone else. It'll affect all of us, but America will probably be hit as badly, if not worse, than the rest, most of the rest of the world. And that's just on the doorstep, I believe. So, you know, we can go, oh, all this terrible stuff is coming. But, you know, for believers, there's got to be some hope in all of this. So what would you suggest to people that they do at this point?
Well, for those who are, you know, one of the things the Lord had given me last September was that he was allowing his children to go through the fire to be refined. He was trying them as gold and silver, because the time of separation is at hand. And that's what we're seeing. And I'm, when I asked the Lord what was happening with the church with all of this confusion, you know, about Donald Trump and all the other things, we're seeing this gap between the church and the bride become wider and wider. And the Lord told me, he says, it's the separation. We're looking, he says, you're seeing the great apostasy.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. It's, and the interesting thing is that the clue that Paul the apostle gives in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would not happen until the apostasy or the great falling away has happened first.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we're experiencing. So those who are allowing themselves to be refined by fire, to remove the gray areas, you know, to grasp on to selling out their entire lives to Christ, we need to hold on. I tell people, this is an important time. It's a time of instructions. Well, we need to know the voice of God for ourselves so he can instruct us on what it is we need to do and how we were to prepare. Because worldwide, different things are happening that are all catastrophic. You know, look at France, look at, you know, the UK, look at what just happened in Turkey yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, look at the worldwide persecution in Africa and China and North Korea. And in the Middle East, in Syria, even in Israel, the Messianics are being persecuted, you know, so it's worldwide and it's coming here to America. And what we all need to do is find our solidarity in Christ, because in Hebrews chapter 12, God said that the time was coming, and behold, it is here now, where I will shake both the heavens and the earth so that only the unshakable things can remain. And that's where we're at right now. Everything is shaking. And so the only thing that is unshakable is him. He's our rock. He's our refuge, the God in whom we can trust. He is the constant one, the solidarity, the rock that we build our house on. So the only answer is to find our solidarity in Jesus Christ, in the Father, in the Holy Spirit, so that as the shaking comes, we will not be shaken.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, that's really good advice. Just can you tell people where that they can actually find your like website where you post your dreams?
So we are at faithfulwalkhealingministries.com. So www.faithfulwalkhealingministries.com. And that's on the right-hand side of the first page is all of my different pages. I have commentaries that I write, understanding who God is. I write those. I try to write those monthly. Sometimes I miss a month or two. And then we have the Watchman on the Wall, which is where I write my prophetic dreams and utterances that God has given me. And we also have a YouTube page that's also under the search of Faithful Walk Healing on YouTube. And we're also on Facebook. So basically, if you Googled or even Yahooed or Bing's Faithful Walk Healing Ministries, you'll be able to come up with all of our websites.
That's great. So we've got just a little bit of time left. There was one other dream that you had fairly recently that I wonder if you could just give a little bit of information to people on, and that was about an asteroid crashing into the ocean.
Yes, it actually has to do overall with a tsunami coming to this country. It's something that the Lord began showing me 3 years ago, but I had not spoken of it much. Because I know there are other people out there who have been talking about a tsunami coming, and it kind of went viral and kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't want to talk about it too much. But the Lord came to me actually twice. He came to me after I even put that post out again, a second time, just twice in the last couple of months about a tsunami coming to America. And one of those three to four dreams, actually, is what has been total since 2013. I saw a meteor hit the Atlantic Ocean far, far off. And he told me that when it hits, that the people from the coastline would have 30 minutes to an hour to evacuate. I will just say this and putting it out there that it is not going to be apocalyptic. As some people have said, people have talked about 700 meter waves and, 700 meters high and water coming all the way in to cover half the country and entire states being wiped out and underwater, or nobody being safe past the Appalachian Mountains, which is here on the East Coast. And that's not true. I'm not saying, I don't know what he'll do, you know, once the bride is gone, but that's not going to happen beforehand. But it will be catastrophic. It won't be apocalyptic, but it will be catastrophic. And we could look at the 2011 tsunami that hit Japan in March, and that was catastrophic. The one that hit off the coast of Sumatra in December 2004, that was very catastrophic.
Yeah.
But, you know, the countries didn't disappear off the map.
Yeah.
Not even the islands disappeared off the map, but they were still catastrophic. And so I just want to kind of put that out there, because millions of people are not going to die. Entire countries are not going under the water. You know, I mean, we read about that in the book of Revelation during the peak of the tribulation, but this is not what this is going to be. But it is going to be a part of the judgment that comes to this country. And the biggest thing is going to be the infrastructure damage that's going to cost billions of dollars to this country because of the flooding. I saw two waves come in, first and second wave. The water came up to basically the first story, and, you know, which is high enough. You're talking, you know, 7-8 feet
yeah.
of water. That's enough to drown a man,
yeah.
you know, if you're standing.
Yeah.
But we also know that in America, we have tons of, you know, high buildings, skyscrapers, apartment complexes, houses that are more than one story or what have you. But it's going to do enough damage to cause a domino effect in this country, even financially. And then it's what happens afterwards that can be even more dangerous, because you're looking at looting, riots. You're looking at, even possibility of mosquitoes and disease and all of that. I mean, I was around in the Gulf Coast when Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005. I remember it very clearly. I was living in Houston, Texas at the time. I had friends that worked for FEMA that went over into New Orleans. I was only like 4 hours from New Orleans. And 1,200 people died in Hurricane Katrina. It was the most costliest natural disaster in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
And that was only 1,200 people that was located between New Orleans, Louisiana, and New Orleans, Louisiana, Biloxi, Mississippi, and Mobile, Alabama. And even that was pretty catastrophic. So something 10 times that amount can cause major damage to this country. It can. But I just want everyone, no matter what, to pray. That's the most, because it's not to instill fear. It's to prepare. That's what it's about. It's about preparation. One of the things that the Lord continuously emphasizes to me in closing is that he will take care of those who he has chosen, those who are faithful and those who are obedient.
Yes. And to hear his voice and have ears tuned into it is going to be so important in these days ahead, probably more than ever.
Yes.
Well, that's been awesome talking to you today. So can you just once again give the website before we close?
Sure. It's www.faithfulwalkhealingministries.com. And we also have an interactive Bible study that people can tune into around the country and even internationally. And we have it every Thursday night, started at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have people as far out as Canada, the UK, and even the Caribbean that tune into our Bible studies. You can call in and listen. It's interactive. We have testimonies. We have questions and comments. And I teach every Thursday the word. We're actually in the book of Acts right now. We're going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The Lord told me to teach the book of Acts because he was preparing the body of Christ to operate in the power and the authority of the first century church.
That's awesome. It's really interesting because we were just talking about that in the last show. God gave Joni Stahl a dream about that very thing. So you've just added another confirmation. That's what's going to be the thing that'll draw people, is a church that lives back in the book of Acts instead of this institutionalized church that has pew sitters and they go about their normal lives outside of that. So thank you. That was awesome, Mina. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Well, that was a powerful interview with Mina Lee Greben. You can find all the A Minute to Midnight interviews in both audio and video format on our aminutetomidnight.com website. And you'll also find we regularly put well-written articles by various members of our team up on that website as well. There is a donation button on the website if anyone feels led to help us out. Donations are greatly appreciated because they really do help us to keep A Minute to Midnight running. It's very time consuming. We love doing it, but we've got to be able to survive financially as well. And you can also help. I write and record all the music for all of our A Minute to Midnight shows, and you can find my music and sound effects at rockshoresounds.com, and there's a link to that on the A Minute to Midnight website. And helping by using that production music royalty free or sound effects directly helps A Minute to Midnight as well. We also have an A Minute to Midnight Facebook group, which you're welcome to join as well. Well, thanks for listening, folks. On behalf of everyone at the A Minute to Midnight team, this is Tony signing off and wishing you all a great week. God bless.